Support for WILL Agriculture comes from Murray Wise Associates, LLC. Land auctions, farm management, financial services, and institutional and corporate real estate. Information on upcoming land auctions can be found at murraywiseassociates.com.
Good Friday morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with the opening commodity market report. Scouts on the Pro Farmer Crop Tour last night converged on Iowa and Minnesota, and the average yield for Iowa's corn was 171.94 bushels to the acre, compared with the tour's three-year average of 157.09. Soybeans, though, were the big surprise in Iowa, pod counts totaling 927.30. That's even less than was made last year than during the 2012 drought. Minnesota's corn crop was severely lacking maturity, but the average for corn was pegged at 181.09 BPA compared to the tour's three-year average of 172.53. Minnesota soybeans came in at 869.42 in a 3x3 square. That's down 7% from 2012. Many soybeans in Minnesota are still in the blooming stage. U.S. sugar processors will give USDA 100,000 short tons. Well, make that, yes, 100,000 short tons of sugar in an effort to ward off a potential wave of defaults on the $354.3 million in federal loans to the U.S. sugar processors that are soon coming due. Ethanol makers will have until next Wednesday to bid on the sugar, and USDA will try to match buyers and sellers. If it can't match up the bids, though, the USDA could face the more costly alternative of processors defaulting on their loans and paying USDA back with tons of sugar instead of cash. Russia has lowered its forecast for this year's soy harvest to 1.5 million to 1.6 million metric tons. The previous estimate was 1.9 million. The problems in Russia go back to floods in the far east of the country. The ministry said severe floods have destroyed crops on 674,700 hectares. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is 14,955, is up 16 points. The NASDAQ 3120 is up 19 and a quarter. And the S&P 500, 1658, it's up 3 1/4 points. Joining us now with a look at agricultural weather is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Another round of thunderstorms may begin later tonight across the northwestern Corn Belt, bringing some additional precipitation to a very dry region. We're expecting the precipitation to be somewhat erratic, though. Only a few counties will get 3/4 of an inch to more than an inch of rain, but there will be those few counties. We do expect the rest of the region to pick up on just 1/10 of an inch, upwards to 3/4 of an inch. The coverage is looking a little bit better to me today than it did yesterday, and focusing in on the eastern Dakotas, Minnesota, maybe a portion of western Iowa in this particular event. The system that's going to be bringing on the precipitation is going to be a developing warm front, and it will move off to the northeast as we move deeper into the weekend. That northeast movement will mark the end of significant precipitation potentials for Iowa and Nebraska for a while. Everywhere from there southward to into Texas and the Delta will probably see a drying biased pattern for a while as that high pressure ridge becomes the dominating feature. The ridge is already starting to form. It's going to be most intense starting tomorrow and lasting through at least Thursday of next week. And the ridge is promising to do a couple of things. Certainly suppress the rainfall across the western Corn Belt. It's also going to bring temperatures higher. Most of the western Corn Belt will see temperatures in the 90s as we go through the late weekend and next week. And we may see some temperatures over 100 degrees in the plains from parts of South Dakota and North Dakota southward into Texas. Most of that 100-degree temperature will stay out of the key Corn Belt producing areas, but we will see some upper 90s on the western side of the production region, and temperatures will get more into the middle 90s across the heart of Iowa and Missouri as time moves forward, maybe even to portions of Illinois as well. The eastern Midwest will never get quite as warm as the western areas, and with the orientation of the ridge being what it is, there will probably be a number of disturbances that will likely work over the top of the ridge Ridge and pass through the Great Lakes region into parts of Ohio and Indiana on a periodic basis as we move forward through the next week to week and a half. In the longer range outlook, the models today continuing to suggest a little cooling may occur in the first days of September. The 3rd through about the 7th looks to be a little bit cooler, with a couple of cool fronts pushing through the Midwest during that period of time. Not a lot of precipitation being suggested into the western Corn Belt when that comes through, but there will be an opportunity for more showers and thunderstorms as the ridge breaks down. In the meantime, when the ridge is present here this weekend into early next week, it will be pulling moisture around the back side of it from the southwest corner of the U.S. There will be a tropical weather disturbance that will be moving into the southwestern desert areas. It won't hold together very well, but it will try to spread some moisture on the back side of the ridge up into the northern U.S. plains and try to help to enhance rainfall potentials for early next week. I don't get very excited about this because I'm not convinced that the moisture will hold together too well, but there will still be a moisture source for that region up there, and perhaps some locally strong thunderstorms will still be possible as we move through that period of time, anywhere from Sunday to about Wednesday of next week. Just a little bit further north in the Canadian prairies, we'll see a little bit more thunderstorm activity in Manitoba and parts of southeastern Saskatchewan. Down in the southeastern part of the U.S., all the heavy rains that have occurred recently are going to be abating. We'll look for drier weather soon. The temperatures yesterday afternoon across the Midwest varied from upper 70s in the Great Lakes regions to the lower 90s in Kansas, Missouri, and parts of southern Illinois southward. And it looks like we'll see those temperatures obviously warming up as we move forward in time. Low temperatures at night will become into the 50s and 60s across the northern parts of the Midwest and 60s and 70s across the west and south, and that will be pretty much the rule from the weekend into the middle part of next week. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Thank you very much, Drew. Let's look and see how futures are trading. December hard red winter wheat is 6.99 up 4. Soft December wheat is 6.46 and a half up 6. September corn 4.97 and a half up 10. December 4.72 and 3 quarters up 8 and a quarter. September soybeans 13.54 and 3 quarters up 32 and 3 quarters. November 13.18 and a quarter up 31 and a half. September soybean meal 4.28.60 up 15.30. September soybean oil 42.84 up 41. August live cattle 123.70 up 35. August feeders 155.35 down a dime. And October lean hogs 84.67 and a half up 27 and a half. Joining us on the phone to talk about the markets is Bill Mayer of Strategic Farm Marketing. He is in Champaign, Illinois. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning, Dave.
Well, soybeans had a big overnight rally and actually hit 1321, which is sort of the downtrend line. If you look at a November chart of the highs made in January and then made again in June, also it's a little bit of a point of resistance. If you go back to December through September, going backward to 2012, it just seems like if we get a little bit more of a push, we're really in a position to take out the yearly highs here.
Yeah, I think it's on the bean side of things. I think we definitely have some concerns about what's going on here, and we got the heat coming in next week. And I think that one of the big things that pushed us overnight here was, you know, the pod counts in Iowa and Minnesota, both according to Pro Farmer, were down below last year. And when we have pods, we don't know if the pods are going to get filled, but if we don't have the pods, we know that we can't fill them. So I think that's a concern. And then, of course, just the continuing old crop tight supply and, you know, seeing some of these problems some of the processors and that are having getting beans bought in the old crop.
Meanwhile, while over on the corn side, I feel as though what the Pro Farmer Tour has done, when it's all said and done, between USDA reports and this tour, has put us in a trading range until harvest and we really get some real numbers.
Yeah, and I think the market's a little bit confused here. I mean, I guess it's just the market we live in today that, you know, you have some of these managed funds and some of this trend following, volume following trade, high frequency trade. Like, that's best way to explain a day like yesterday, I think. But I think really the market's a little confused from a fundamental standpoint on whether this heat coming in next week is good or bad.
Right.
And the answer is, you know, if you got the rains last night and yesterday, It's probably good. If you didn't, it's probably bad. So.
And it was a variable rain, so it's hard to factor on a national basis what it means.
Yeah, that's for sure. And I guess I think that you really still have a situation where the crop is continuing overall nationally, continuing to decline some instead of getting bigger. And I think that's combined with the fact that you have the managed funds in a very historically high short position, they get nervous pretty easy if you start to see some potential for crop problems.
Thank you very much, Bill.
Thank you, Dave.
Bill Mayer of Strategic Farm Marketing, and he is in Champaign, Illinois. Current tick, September corn, 497 and a half up 10. December, 472 and three quarters up 8 and a quarter. September soybeans, 1354 and a half up 32 and a half. November, 1319 and three quarters up 33. September soybean meal, 428.60 up 1540. At 70 now, up 1540. September soybean oil, 42.78, up 35. And October lean hogs are 84.65, up 25 cents. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD3 Urbana. It's 9:01 Central Time.